Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MTG Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey. And with me today, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. I played some more Brothers War this weekend. That was kind of cool. I opened some of the Jumpstart packs. I got the green and blue, or green, not green, green and black dudes, and beat Jake's blue-red deck that he opened.
Nice.
And then, sounds fun. Then my wife Elizabeth played in the pre-release, so.
Yep.
Well, pre-release for Lady Planeswalkers. So it was like release weekend, but.
Right.
And then, yeah, so before we get started here, I got a couple sponsors I want to plug. So first one up is Zencastr. So I guess there's an all-in-one podcast production suite that gives you studio-quality audio and video without needing all the technical know-how. It records each guest locally, then uploads the crystal clear audio and video right into the suite so you have high quality raw materials to work with. If you'd like to try it for yourself, you can get a 30% off code by using code zen.ai/theMTGPlace. Secondly, you can support us by using our TCG Player affiliate link, which is in every episode's show notes. It's also in our Discord. It's also on our website, mtgplace.net. All the information you need for anything is there. All of our podcasts are there, so if you forget something, need to know, just go to mtgplace.net. One website to remember. And then lastly, you can support us on Patreon, which will help us very greatly, as low as $1 a month. And if you sign up between now and the end of the year, we'll send you some signed cards.
Yeah. We appreciate any form of support that you wish to give us. And yeah, and the TCG affiliate link is great just because you're going to be buying cards anyway. You may as well use it. Like, it's basically nothing extra for you. So just gives us a little bonus.
Right. Exactly. You just say, hey, they sent us over here. So today we're going to talk about the Transformers cards. We're going to talk about all 15 in the set. Now you can get these in if you buy a bundle, which is like like 10 set boosters, eight set boosters, whatever. And you get a Transformers card guaranteed with that. You can also open them in set boosters, the regular version of these, in a set booster. And then in the collector's boosters, you can open the regular version and the stained glass versions, which are like the fancy-looking versions of them.
Yep. And, yeah, the full art is pretty cool, so you can see why people might want that.
Yep. And all these cards are double-sided. So it'd be kind of cool if you had like the foil stained glass one, because both sides would be the foil stained glass.
Mm-hmm.
So James, why don't you get us started with the first one?
All right. So as always, we'll be going in the Wooburger order. There aren't a ton of these, so we'll just kind of blast through them quick here. So first card we got is Prowl Stoic Strategist. It is 3 and a white for a 3/3. You can also pay 2 and a white, which will you can play it as the flip side. So I'll read that second. But so for this side, it's a legendary artifact creature that's a robot. Whenever Prowl attacks, exile up to one other target tapped creature or vehicle. For as long as that card remains exiled, its owner may play it. Whenever a player plays a card exiled with Prowl, you draw a card and convert Prowl, which in this case, it basically means transform. I just use a different keyword.
Yeah, it flips into the other side.
Yeah. So then the other side, which is if you pay 2 and a white, it is for Prowl Pursuit Vehicle, which is a 2/3 legendary artifact. It's a vehicle with living metal, which means as long as it's your turn, this vehicle is also a creature. Whenever another creature or vehicle enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Prowl. If this is the second time this ability has resolved this turn, convert Prowl.
So then you would flip it back.
So it goes back to the other side.
So that's what's kind of cool about these Transformer cards is you can play them either side. So you can pay it for the main cost or the more than meets the eye cost, which is the converted side cost, basically. So you can play it either way. And then both, at least this card, I'm assuming most of them have the same thing, but when you do a certain effect, you can flip it back to the other side or flip it back to this side. So yep. If you like the ability on the other side better, you can kind of try and force it to flip to meet your needs there.
Yeah, it's pretty, honestly, pretty interesting concept here. So it's pretty cool.
This first one seems pretty cool. So it's like every time you attack, you're removing something from the game, and then but they can still cast it. But then if they do, you draw a card, and I flip this over to the vehicle side.
Which that seems pretty nice, honestly.
And then for you to flip it back, all you have to do is play two creatures. Like you play two creatures, you get two +1/+1 counters, and flip it.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of good, right? Because then you're gonna flip back. So if you played as a 2/4 lifelink, right? And then, the other way, played as a 3/3. I mean, played as a 3/3, and then you attack, exile something, they play something. You get back and it's a 2/3 still, or 3/3 to a 2/3, so it loses the power. But then you're going to gain back, so it's going to be a 5/5 when it comes back. That's kind of good.
Yeah, seems pretty good.
All right, next up we got Ratchet, the Field Medic. It's 2 and a white for a 2/4 lifelink. Whenever you gain life, you may convert Ratchet. When you do, return target artifact card with mana value less than or equal to the amount of life you gain this turn from your graveyard to the battlefield. And then it's more than meets the eye, cost is 1 and a white, so 2 mana. And you can play it as the Rescue Racer, which is the vehicle version, which has living metal. So it's only a creature during your turn. So it's like automatically crewed on your turn. And then it's a 1/4 lifelink. And whenever one or more non-token artifacts you control are put into a graveyard from the battlefield, convert it back, but this triggers only once each turn.
All right.
So you gain life, get an artifact back, equals the amount you lost. Bring or get an artifact back to the battlefield tapped. Go back. If you somehow get another one back with a card in your hand or something, flip it back. And if you gain life again, you could do that again, but then you can't flip it back because you can only trigger the flip back.
It's only once a turn. Vehicle once a turn. One. Yeah.
That seems really good, though, right? Like, it's just gain life artifacts deck.
Yeah, that's definitely very viable, very white, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a cool card.
Yeah. Both sides have lifelink, so it's interesting. All right. Next up, we have Jetfire, Ingenious Scientist. It is 4 and a blue for a 3/4 legendary artifact creature that's a robot with flying. Remove 1 or more +1/+1 counters from among artifacts you control. Target player adds that much waste. This mana can't be spent to cast non-artifact spells. And then convert Jetfire. And so then you can also play him for as more than meets the eye cast for 3 and a blue. For Jetfire, Air Guardian is a 3/4 legendary artifact vehicle with living metal, with flying. And then you can just pay 3 blues to convert Jetfire, then adapt 3. So that means you just put a bunch of +1/+1 counters on it.
Okay, so if you play it as the other side and adapt it, you're flipping it back into a 6/7 flyer. That's a big flyer. And then you can remove the counters to add mana. So you could keep, so you can run, remove the 3 counters to add 3 waste for artifacts and then flip it back and then adapt it again because it has no counters. So you can keep adapting because it has to have no counters to do that. But you can just keep getting the 3 mana.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It seems good for blue.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. That's pretty awesome.
I think he's pretty good. I think that's playable.
Yeah, well, I'd say so. It's an interesting concept.
It's also interesting if you used one of these as your commander, because you'd have to choose what side do I want to build around.
Right, yeah. These are all like that, too.
Yeah, although this one, I feel like, synergizes the best so far with its front and back side.
Yeah. Because it's just like a reason to use it, basically.
Right, yeah, like it's a reason to keep flipping back and forth because it's like, okay, so you get 1/1 counters to get a big flyer, but then I can find one, I can spend those for more mana, so.
Right, you get the mana and all that good stuff.
And it doesn't have to be this. If you just have artifacts that get counters anyway, you can remove counters from them for more mana.
Right, yeah, this
just ramp into like a giant like ramp into a blight steal or something.
Yeah, there's plenty of ways to do that in Magic.
All right, next up we got Blitzwing, the Cruel Tormentor. It's 5 and a black for a 6/5 legendary artifact creature robot. At the beginning of your end step, target opponent loses life equal to the life that player lost this turn. If no life is lost this way, convert him. And then he has 3 and a black to play it for its converted side, which is Blitzwing the Adaptive Assailant, 3/5 legendary artifact vehicle with living metal. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose flying or indestructible at random. Blitzwing gains that ability until end of turn. When it deals count damage to a player, convert it.
Okay.
So that's good for life loss deck, the front side, because lost 3 life, you lose 3 life again. Mm-hmm. And then, but if you don't make someone lose life, then you're going to flip into either a 3/5 flyer or indestructible guy that you're going to swing with.
Right.
Flip it back.
That seems awesome. Like,
yeah, the front side is the best side for this guy, but you can play it for less too. Like, so you could just on turn 4 jam this out and hope you can get in on turn 5 to flip it back, so you don't have to pay the 6 mana to get him out.
Exactly. Because all you have to do is deal combat damage to convert it.
Right. So, and if it gets flying, it's going to be easy.
That's really fucking
easy. If it gets indestructible, they're probably ain't going to block it either. Like, I mean, they could, but they're losing their dude.
Yeah. Unless they really need to block the damage, they're probably not going to block it. So, yeah, that's interesting. That's a cool card.
Seems cool.
Yeah. All right, next up we got Starscream Power Hungry. Starscream. it's 3 and a black for a 2/3 legendary artifact creature robot with flying. Whenever you draw a card, if you're the Monarch, target opponent loses 2 life. Whenever one or more creatures deal combat damage to you, convert Starscream. So then his converted side is for 2 and a black for Starscream Seeker Leader, a 2/3 legendary artifact vehicle with living metal. Flying Menace Haste. Whenever Starscream deals combat damage to a player, if there is no Monarch, that player becomes the Monarch. Whenever you become the Monarch, convert Starscream.
Okay, I think the backside's better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, it's just a 2/3.
Alone.
Like, it's 3 mana for a 2/3 Flying Menace Haste, and then swing, you become the Monarch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then obviously at the end step of the turn you become the Monarch, you're going to immediately trigger the Starscream Power Hungry, which is they lose 2 life because you drew a card. That's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty sick, honestly.
That's awesome.
That's probably one of the better cards I think that you've seen in this set.
So far. Yeah, Starscream is awesome. I like Starscream as a character, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, he's one of the best characters. Definitely. And his magic card is awesome.
next up, we got Slicer, Hired Muscle. It's 4 and a red for a 3/4 legendary artifact creature with double strike and haste. Beginning of each opponent's upkeep, you may have that player gain control of Slicer until end of turn. If you do, untap Slicer, goad it, and it can't be sacrificed this turn. If you don't do that, convert it. Its convert is, so the meets more than meets the eye to play if its convert size is 2 and a red, or it's Slicer the high speed antagonist. It's a 3/2 living metal artifact vehicle. With first strike and haste, and when it deals combat damage to a player, convert it at the end of combat.
Okay, so
he's okay. Like, he's okay. So you can basically pass him around the table.
Yeah.
As a 3/4 that can't attack you.
Yeah, or be sacrificed or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But, yeah, interesting.
Otherwise, he's like a 3/2 get in for some damage, or a 3/4 double striker. So it's kind of like a 6/4. I don't know. He seems okay. If you have a goad deck, maybe, but I'm not a huge fan of goad in general.
Yeah, goad's weird. Definitely. I know you're not a big fan of it. I mean, the stats are fine, I guess, but it's nothing like real special, I guess. Yeah. I've always thought like the pass the buck kind of cards have always been kind of strange too. And there's a few cards that are like that in Magic.
Right.
I never really know exactly how to think about those. So
the interesting thing is this is on their upkeep, and then you get it back in a turn. So like in a Commander game, yeah. Right? Like, okay, you get this, you get to swing at someone but me, and then I get it back. And then I get to give it to somebody else, and then I get it back. So you will always have it to block if you choose to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just weird because you're basically just tempting all your other players to not attack you.
Yeah. Which but I guess it's
good in the going deck, man.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Goldbug, Humanity's Ally. It is 1 white-blue for a 3/3 legendary artifact creature. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to attacking humans you control. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, convert Goldbug. So then you can play the backside for just 1 white-blue, or Azorius. For a 1/3 living metal, Goldbug Scrappy Scout, legendary artifact creature vehicle. Human spells you control can't be countered. Whenever Goldbug and at least one human attack, draw a card and convert Goldbug.
So
human synergy here with this one.
Front side. Humans. Yes, you're interesting. So yeah, human synergy. So this would go in your human tribal deck.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever in at least one human attack, draw a card on the backside, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. And then the front side, prevent all combat damage to be dealt to attacking humans you control. That's really good.
Yep. Except for it's blue-white humans, whereas I think the human deck right now is green-white.
Okay, yeah.
So you'd have to play three-color humans. It's interesting because it opens up your options.
I mean, blue is a good color. That it adds a lot of utility, so there's lots of support you can use with that.
So next up, we got Cyclonus the Saboteur. It's 2 blue and a black for a 2/5 legendary artifact creature robot with flying. And whenever it deals combat damage to a player, it connives. Then, if its power is 5 or greater, you convert it. So this is the first one we've seen where the more than meets the eye costs more than the front side. So it's 5 blue-black for the backside. And the backside is Cyclonus the Cybertronian Fighter. It's a legendary artifact vehicle with living metal and flying 5/5. And when it deals combat damage to a player, convert it. If you do, there's an additional beginning phase after this phase, which is untap, upkeep, and draw.
Interesting.
So you swing, untap, upkeep, draw, and then get to attack again and draw a discard. Like you get to connive.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Eventually, it's going to have a bunch of counters on it, so it's going to keep flipping back and forth all the time.
Right, yeah.
It's like, if you flip this the first time, right, like it's going to be over 5 power, so it's immediately going to flip back and forth in the same turn.
Yeah.
So, like, once you flip this the first time, you're going to swing, or flip it, and then the next turn you're going to swing, convert it back, swing it, or and then, you know, and then the next turn, so it's just going to keep flipping every turn.
Just literally just flips back and forth like crazy.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
So you get extra untap and upkeep and draw, so it's kind of like you get 2 turns.
Yeah. Like, it's like an extra, like, half turn.
Well, you get to untap, though. So, like, it's basically a whole turn. Like, within your turn.
Right.
But
I don't think you don't get a second combat, though, is the only thing I don't think.
No, that's the only thing. You don't get another combat. Yeah. But you could play
you double get the basically shit. Everything else, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, sure. All right. Next up is Flame War Brash Veteran. It is one black red for a 3/2. Sacrifice another artifact, put a +1/+1 counter on Flame War and convert it. Activate only as a sorcery. You can also pay one, discard your hand, put all exile cards with put all exile cards you own with intel counters on them into your hand. So you can also play his back cost for Rakdos, just black red. For a 2/1 living metal, Flame War Streetwise Operative, 2/1 living metal, Menace Death Touch. Whenever Flame War deals combat damage to a player, exile that many cards from the top of your library face down, put an intel counter on each of them, convert Flame War.
So that's interesting. So you basically, this one, you want to play the backside first.
Yeah, because I don't think you can convert it otherwise.
Yeah, you can by sacking an artifact.
Oh, that's what it is. You sack an artifact. Okay.
But, like, you want to get all those intel counters so that that discard the hand effect, when you have, like, no cards in your hand, you're just like, okay, I'll discard my zero cards or one card, get every single card that I've drawn off of the bike.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Nice. Yeah,
it's a good impulse draw thing. I think this works well in the what's the guy? The packed guy from D&D, the D&D set.
Oh yeah.
You cast stuff from exile.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really good.
Prosper. That's his name, Prosper. So it's good in the Prosper deck, I think. Kind of fits that theme.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, next up we got Blaster the Combat DJ. It's 3 red green for a 3/3 legendary artifact creature robot. Other non-token artifact creatures and vehicles you control have modular 1.
Ooh, okay.
Whenever you put one or more 1/1 counters on Blaster, convert it. It converts into Blaster the Morale Booster, which is like a giant boombox.
Yeah,
a
huge
boombox. Legendary artifact, modular 3, and has pay X and tap it, move X +1/+1 counters from Blaster onto another target artifact. That artifact gains haste until end of turn. If Blaster has no 1/1 counters on it, convert it. Activate only as a sorcery.
Okay, that's really interesting. So it's just literally just an artifact. It's not even like a vehicle or a creature like the other ones have been.
Yeah, so you put a 1/1 counter on him, you flip him into an artifact, but it's modular 3, which is going to give you 3 counters plus whatever counter you put on it, and then you're going to move that from the boombox onto something else to flip it back into this to give all your stuff modular again.
Yep.
That's crazy good.
This is, yeah. Modular is just one of those things that's just really good.
Yeah, it's like, because even if you just play, like, because other artifact creatures, so like if you just play, like, a dopey 1/1 that's going to enter with a 1/1 counter, and then when it dies, you can put it on this to flip this into a 4-counter artifact to give 4 counters to something.
Right, exactly.
Like, that seems good.
Yeah, very, very good. Modular is, with the right deck especially, it can be very powerful. So yeah, fun to see. For sure. Next up, we have RC Sharpshooter. It is 1 red white for a 2/2. First strike, pay 1, remove 1 or more +1/+1 counters from RC. It deals that much damage to target creature, convert RC. And then the backside, if you pay red white or Boros, you can play the backside, which is RC Acrobatic Coupe. That's a 2/2 vehicle with living metal. Whenever you cast a spell that targets one or more creatures or vehicles you control, put that many +1/+1 counters on RC, convert RC.
So you're going to buff a creature to put that many 1/1 counters on this.
Mm-hmm.
So red, white, aggro, basically?
Yeah.
Like brute force and stuff?
Just pumped the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And it just gets huge, basically.
Well, if you could target all of your stuff, like if you're saying it's just five target creatures, mm-hmm. put five counters on it. But most of the time, you're going to target just one.
Yeah.
And you're going to get one lone counter. And to flip this back, it'll be a 3/3 first strike that can ping for one.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't bad.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
Interesting card.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Soundwave, the Sonic Spy. So Soundwave is here.
Mm-hmm.
He is one white, blue, black. So one in Esper. For a 5/4 legendary artifact creature, whenever one or more creature tokens you control deal combat damage to a player, exile target instant or sorcery card with mana value equal to the damage dealt from their graveyard. Copy it. You may cast the copy without paying its mana cost. If you do, convert Soundwave, which the more than meets the eye for this is 2 of Esper, so it's 5 mana. So it's actually more than the front side.
More, yeah.
For Soundwave Superior Captain, whenever you cast a spell with an odd mana value, convert Soundwave. If you do, create Ravage, a legendary 3/3 black robot artifact creature token with Menace and Death Touch. Whenever you cast a spell with an even mana value, convert Soundwave. If you do, create Laserbeak, a legendary 2/2 robot artifact creature token with flying and hexproof.
Okay, so that's interesting. So basically, you convert it no matter what mm-hmm. you play, and then it makes dudes.
Yeah, so it makes tokens, and then when you hit with a token, you get to take something out of somebody's graveyard and copy that spell that's equal to the damage or less. So yeah. You hit them with the 3/3, you get a 3 or CMC or less spell for free. Hit them with the 2/2, right. You get a 2/2. So this is basically like Esper tokens, right? Like, it's just as any creature token. So you could make like a giant like 8/8 token and swing at them with it and like copy the biggest spell that they have in the graveyard.
It's pretty good, honestly.
The only downside is the tokens it makes are legendary. So,
right. So you can't like do it a shit ton.
Right. So you can't just
you get one of each though.
Yeah, you definitely want one of each, and then swing with those.
Yeah, it's Menace, Death Touch, and then Flying Hexproof. Like, yeah, those are good keywords on just, even though they're, you know, they're not huge, or 2/2s and 3/3s, but still, right. Like, that's fine, you know.
Seems pretty good.
And, like, in Esper, like, you know, I guess there isn't really a ways to pump stuff in Esper a whole lot, but I guess like I don't know, it's token based though, right?
Right.
Generally.
Yeah, I mean white is tokens.
Yeah,
blue's got some. Black's got some. Black's got zombies. Blue's got like drakes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's just a way to like add to the board, and it's
I mean it's value because you're gonna get something for free. So
yeah, totally. So yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, next up we got Ultra Magnus Tactician. It is 4 and Naya, which is red, green, white, for a 7/7 with Ward 2. Whenever Ultra Magnus attacks, you may put an artifact creature card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. If you do, convert Ultra Magnus at end of combat. So then they're more than meets the eye. Cost is 2 and Naya, so that's 5 total. And that is for Ultra Magnus Armored Carrier, which is a 4/7 vehicle with living metal and haste. And then it also has Formidable, which is whenever Ultra Magnus attacks, attacking creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. If those creatures have total power 8 or greater, convert Ultra Magnus.
Okay, so the backside, it's okay. It's pretty good. You can basically swing, flip it right away, so you only have to pay 5 mana instead of
7. Yeah, which is nice, yeah.
But that front side, the ward 2/7/7, and when it attacks, you put an artifact creature tapped and attacking. It's like, okay, attack, blightsteel.
Yeah, exactly.
Attack, Darksteel Colossus. Attack, like, whatever. But
yeah, that's really good.
Attack, play my Mer Battlesphere.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Any artifact creature in your hand tapped and attacking is very powerful.
Yeah, it's like you get to see, and it's not even like until it turns, it's forever. It just stays in
play. No, it stays in play. It's very good.
So it's like a very good card.
Like, sure, you could just have dumbass mirrors in your hand or some shit, whatever, but most people are going to have good stuff. If you're playing artifacts, you're going to have good shit in your hand.
Right.
Usually. Like, be it Blightsteel, be it Darksteel, be it whatever, you know, like there's a ton of, you know, different big creatures that you can play. And yeah, that's quite the enabler.
Tons and tons. So next up we got the big bad, Megatron.
Megatron.
Megatron Tyrant. 3 red, white, black, so 3 in Mardu for a 7/5 legendary artifact creature robot. Your opponents can't cast spells during combat. At the beginning of your post-combat main phase, you may convert Megatron. If you do, add a waste for each 1 life your opponents lost this turn. And the more than meets the eye is 1 and Mardu, so 4 mana. For Megatron Destructive Force, it's a 4/5 legendary artifact vehicle with a living metal. And when it attacks, you may sacrifice another artifact. When you do, Megatron deals damage equal to the sacrifice artifact's mana value to target creature. If excess damage will be dealt to that creature this way, instead, that damage is dealt to that creature's controller, and then you convert Megatron.
Okay, that's pretty sick.
So you sack off an artifact, deal damage to a creature, and then it deals damage, excess damage, so it shoots him in the face with that, and then this flips into the awesome Megatron Tyrant. That can give you a bunch of life. And when you do that, whatever damage they took, you're going to add waste to your mana pool for all the life they lost.
Yeah,
it'll be your post-combat main phase after that.
Very sick. And then opponents not being able to cast spells during combat, also very good.
Yeah, very annoying for the opponents. They can't play removal during combat.
Or just wipe your board or something. Like, yeah. So, Megatron's good, which is, you know, not surprising.
Yeah.
very, very good card. And last but certainly not least, we have Optimus himself, Optimus Prime Hero, which is 3 in Jeskai. So that's blue, red, white. So 6 total for a 4/8 legendary artifact creature with at the beginning of each end step, bolster 1, which is choose a creature with the least toughness among creatures you control and put a +1/+1 counter on it. When Optimus Prime dies, return it to the battlefield converted under its owner's control. That's really good, actually. Holy crap. All right, and then it's more than meets the eye. Cost is 2 in Jeskai, and that is Optimus Prime Autobot Leader, legendary artifact, 6/8 living metal, trample. Whenever you attack, bolster 2. The chosen creature gains trample until end of turn. When that creature deals combat damage to a player this turn, convert Optimus Prime.
Yeah, so if the front side dies, it comes back to the back side.
That's awesome.
And then the back side buffs your creatures, gives them your weakest creature, gives it trample. And then if you happen to be swinging with it that round, like it deals damage, you can flip it back to the front side, which will bolster at the end step again. And then if they happen to kill this, it comes back as the other side. So they have to kill it while it's on the other side to get rid of it.
Yep. That's pretty powerful.
Honestly. Or exile it, but that's still pretty powerful. Like, so removal, they need specific removal to get rid of it.
Very, very specific removal. And honestly, six for a 4/8, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Step added well.
Or you can put it the other side and it's even better. 5 for a 6/8 trample.
I know, exactly. Like, goddamn.
Oh, and it's whenever you attack. So you don't even have to attack with Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm. No, no, you it's just
attack one with that something you else.
Yeah.
So you can play as the other side and attack with something, and bolt that you're going to end up bolstering. Try and get through to get Optimus out for one less mana if you want.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty sick.
That's good.
Yeah, so not surprising. Optimus is OP.
Yeah.
Be shocked there. Well, that's all of the, at least all of the rares and the mythics. That's all we went through.
Yeah, and then at the end here, I'm putting up a picture for people at home with the stained glass or shattered glass looks like. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, the shattered glass is sick. Yeah, the Optimus one is really fucking cool. The Megatron one is really fucking cool. Like, yeah, these are awesome. Like alternate arts.
So if you had to pick one, what one is the best?
The best? Oh boy. Starscream is really fucking good. Optimus obviously is really fucking good. I don't know.
I think Starscream, Optimus. I think that Ultra Magnus is pretty fucking good too.
Ultra Magnus is sick.
And yeah. Megatron, Soundwave.
Yeah, there's definitely some really powerful cards in here.
They definitely made a lot of the more popular guys better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jetfire is okay. Like, Jetfire is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a pretty cool little set, huh?
Yeah, mini set thing. It's basically, you can only get them in, like, again, set boosters, collector's boosters. Or if you buy a bundle, you're guaranteed one that's not a shattered glass version.
Right.
Shattered glass only comes in collectors, I think. Maybe you can get it in set, but it'd be uber rare. But I know for sure you can get them in collectors. And the set boosters, I know you can get the regular ones because I opened one. So.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I opened, it was either Ratchet or Prowl. I know it was mono white. So.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, quite the mini set here. I guess this is the upside of having Hasbro partnering with MTG is we get stuff like this.
Hasbro owns MTG. Yeah. So they could, you know, make more, reprint them pretty easily because they're always going to have the rights unless Hasbro decides to sell, which is the coast.
Right.
I think they're cool.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I think they made it work, even though it's a little weird to have Transformers in Magic, but I mean, they already did Walking Dead, and that was the weirdest, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
What was it? Stranger Things is a little bit weird too. Like, so, whatever. They're going to be doing Doctor Who. I think the coolest one will be Lord of the Rings when they do that.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is going to be sick. That's very much like, it fits like the Magic of the Gathering, like, you know, like lore and everything. So
yeah.
I think that'll be actually a really good matchup. Strange Things is a little more weird, but it has the D&D background to it. So, you know, it worked, I guess. Right. The D&D set was sick, definitely.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can't wait to see some more of, well, you know, when we get more later on. Honestly, I mean, I wasn't really sure about this one, but it's cool, definitely. So,
yeah, I mean, it makes me be like, okay, well, if I get them, I want, you know, Optimus Prime, Megatron, like just because I like those characters, not necessarily like if the card's good. I mean, the card is also good, but
yeah, but that helps too, especially the Shattered Glass Optimus
Prime. Like, if I got the Shattered Glass ones, I'd probably just, you know, sleeve it or put it in a case or something just to like a display piece,
yeah. It's a good
more than play with it. Like, if I got like the original cheap one, I would just play with it. But
mm-hmm. So, yeah, the art, they did a really good job in the art of these cards and just like the flavor and like how they like function. Yeah, this is I think a
I mean,
pretty,
now, if you
neat
if,
thing.
If you do want to pick up singles, like right now they're actually pretty cheap. Like this Optimus Prime we're showing is only $25 non foil. But the foil is going for $300 to $2,000. So if you open the foil.
Yeah. Take care of it. It might be worth something, like a lot more.
Basically, all of these foil, if you get any of them from Yeah. If you get the shattered glass, any of the shattered glasses foiled, they're going for like $300 or more. It's kind of crazy.
So that's quite the payday.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Yep. We'll talk to you next time.
Yep. Thanks for the support, and we'll see you later.